Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Maseches Saita Daf Lamed Hey. We are holding on the last line of Lamed Daled Amud Beis. So we're discussing the Meraglim, the spies that were sent by Moshe Rabbeinu to tour Eretz Yisrael and report back to Bnei Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Vayashuvu Mitur Haaretz. So they returned from touring the land. Mitur, touring. So they came back, and the pasuk continues, Vayelchu Vayavoyu. They left and returned. We already know that they went. It should just say Vayavoyu. They came back to Moshe, and discussed what they saw. Why the word Vayelchu? Answers the Gemara. Om Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Makish, Halicha, Levia. The reason why the Pasuk mentions Vayelchu with Vayavoyu, in order to connect the going to the coming, the leaving to the returning, it was with the same mindset. Ma Bia Be'etza, Ra, just as their return was with an agenda, with a scheme to badmouth Eretz Yisrael, Af Halicha Be'etzora, the same was their thinking as they left. This was their scheme, this was their plan all along. Now, although the Pasuk does call them Anoshim, and Rashi said they were Tzadikim, but Ba'isa Shah, at that point, Hashem does not hold one accountable for his future plans. At that point, it was still innocent. But of course, as the Gemara tells us, it turns out that this was their plan all along. That was their purpose for going. Vayisapru loy, vayamru, bonu, so they come back to Moshe Rabbeinu, to Aaron, and they report as follows. They came, we came, and we saw that indeed it was a land flowing with milk and honey. Uksiv, and then it says, something very negative, something very scary. Ephes, but ki az ha'am, the nation, the goyim, are very brazen and strong and fearful. Why did they begin with something positive and then move on to negative? Om Rabbi Yochanan, Mishim Rabbi Meir, Kol Loshen Hara, She'em Bo Yidvar Emes B'Tchilasai. If you want your Loshen Hara to be accepted and believed, if a Loshen Hara, if evil speech, does not begin with something truthful, something positive, Ein miskayem b'sofa, it won't take hold. It's more believed when you start by speaking truth, something real, and then you veer off to Lashon Hara. That's why they began with something positive about Eretz Yisrael. You should know, it's really Eretz Yisrael. That opened up everybody's ears and made it more believable and more accepting. Even though they painted Eretz Yisrael in a very bad light, ultimately. Vayas kolei v'so'am el Moshe. Vayas, Rashi says, shiskan, he quieted them. He told everybody to quiet down. How did he do that? Vayas kolei v'so'am el Moshe. Amar Rabbi, she sisam edvarim. So he darshan has, vayas, loshan, he sitam, he swayed them. He convinced them with his words. So how did he get the crowd to listen to him? So he saw like this. Pasach Yehoshua d'chemishtoi. You see, initially he notices that Yehoshua starts speaking, and they cut him off. I'm related to tell him, what are you praising Eretz Yisrael? Dain, this person, Roish Ketia, without a head, cut off head, meaning he had no boys to speak of. Yehoshua had no boys. So Yemalel, he's the one to speak. This whole issue isn't pertaining to him. His boys are not going to be busy inheriting Eretz Yisrael. What's he putting his two cents into the discussion here, into the debate? So they cut him off. Omar, so now Kalei figures, they'll give me the same treatment. Imishtain, if I begin speaking, Amri Bimosa, they'll say something, they'll call me some name, and they'll cut me off. Vachasminli, they'll cut me off. They'll quiet me down. So he came up with a tactic, a brilliant ploy, to get them to listen to him, just to get them to listen. Amalan, he suddenly, declares, he calls out, Rabbi Yisai, we're all ganging up on Moshe Rabbeinu, right? V'chizu b'vad asalona ben Amram. You think this is the only thing? That ben Amram, Moshe was Amram's son. This is the only bad thing he did for us? You think this is the only thing? So everybody's thinking bad, right? Savri b'gnusa k'mishtoy. They're thinking that, Kalev is about to help us gang up on Moshe Rabbeinu. That he's going to speak negatively. B'gnusay of Moshe Rabbeinu k'mishtoy, he's going to be speaking. Ishtiku. Silence in the room. You can hear a pin drop. And he continues. Once he had their ear, Amar lo, he tells them, you think this is the only thing that Moshe Rabbeinu did for us? Look what else. Hatzianu Mitzrayim. He took us out of Mitzrayim. V'karolonu sayam. Split the Red Sea. V'chlonu saman. Served us the man. He's a great leader. A caring leader. And now as well. He has a good track record. Listen to him. Follow him. It's only for our good. Im yomer lanu asu salamis va'alu l'rukei. Even if he tells us, climb up to the sky with ladders. Shouldn't we listen to him? Of course. Let's go. We're going to go up to Eretz Yisrael and inherit the land. But the other Meraglim, his colleagues, negated his opinion. No, we can't do it. Dover Gadol, a very bold thing. Dibru Meraglim Yisrael was said by the Meraglim at that point. What did they say? Ki chazak hu mimenu. The nation of Canaan is stronger than Mimenu. Altirkri Mimenu, instead of Mimenu, stronger than us. El Mimenu, some say Mimenoi, stronger than him, Hashem Chas V'Shalom. Kaviyachal, as to say, Afilu Balabais, even, like a marshal, even a landlord, Einoi Yochel Loitzi Kele Misham, wouldn't step foot into the house, they wouldn't take out his utensils from there, he's scared to walk in there, meaning, even Hashem can't get rid of the goyim in Eretz Yisrael, so to speak. Eretz Eichelos Yeshveahi. This land consumes its inhabitants. Everybody was dying right and left. Look, this is not a place to be. Dorash Rava says Rava, Omer Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem figured like this. Ani chashavti l'tayva. Hashem says, I meant it for their good. Ve'him chashu l'ro, and they interpreted it bad. Ani chashavti l'tayva. My purpose was good, to call echad the motu. That wherever the Meraglim, you know, arrived, every place they came to, mace, suddenly, who died? Chashiva didu, their leader dies. Why? This was part of my plan, says Hashem. Ki echad didn't introduce so that they be distracted. They don't investigate who these people are. V'yikadami, there's another version of what happened. Iyav, Iyav, the great Iyav, who was a big tzaddik and in his zechus, they would be protected, the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan. Noch nafshe, he passed away. But Tridu Kol Yam and all the citizens of Eretz Canaan were now busy be'aspeda with the hesped of Iyav. Says Hashem, this is my plan, to get them preoccupied, and not to notice, not to busy themselves with the Meraglim that are intruding on them. And how did they perceive it? How did the Meraglim interpret it? In a bad way. They said, they complained. Everybody's dying. Wherever we go, everybody's dying. And they continued. We considered ourselves, in our eyes, like small grasshoppers relative to the giants we found in Eretz Yisrael. Likewise, we were considered in their eyes. They perceived us as little midget grasshoppers. We're nothing compared to them. Amar of Mersharshia. Meraglim, shikri havu. These Meraglim were liars. Why? Based on what were they saying this? It wasn't factual. It was just guesswork. Okay, the first part, l'chai, that makes sense. In our eyes, we perceived ourselves compared to them like grasshoppers. Okay, but the second part, how did they know what's going through their minds? And this is how they, the locals, perceived us. How did they know? What are you talking about? Just speculation. Says the Gemara, no, not necessarily. It could be that they actually did know it firsthand, because Kihavo Mavri Aveli. Remember, they were now Avela. Many people were dying, so when they would serve the oval, the meal, it's called a Sudas Havra. How would they do it? Out in the street, Tuti Arzi Havamavri. They do the Suda beneath the cedars out in the open. Okay, so that was happening as they were touring the land. V'chichazinu, and when the Meragim noticed the giants there, Salku, they quickly climbed up Yasvi Bilani, and they climbed up into the trees to get away from them, to hide. And what did they overhear? Shami, and they overhear the Ka'amri, that the locals are having a conversation, and they're saying to each other, Kachazina, we're noticing, Inshi the Damu Lekamtsi, people that look like grasshoppers, and weeny teeny people, Bilani, out in the trees. So this wasn't just speculation, it was based on reality. Now, upon hearing the terrible report, Vatisa Kola Eda, Vayitnu Es Koilam Vayivku, the whole nation begins crying. That day, Erev Tisha B'Av, it was Erev Tisha B'Av. That night when they were crying was Tisha B'Av, the night of the Churban HaBeis HaMikdash. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Hein Bochu B'Chiya Shel Chinam, they're sitting and crying for nothing. The biggest, the greatest gift I'm about to give them, they're crying about it. V'Ani Ekba Lehem B'Chiya L'Deris, and this will result in generating a day of crying for generations to come because of the Churban HaBeis HaMikdash. Everybody wanted to stone them, and Hashem suddenly revealed himself. The fact that we have a description of stoning next to Hashem's revelation, we learn that they took stones and they threw it up towards Hashem, chas v'shalom. So the ones who spread this false information died in the Magefa. In fact, it says Bamageifa. Rashi says, Mashma, it's a known death. Mida can give me the measure for measure, something which was befitting their crime. Tosis adds, it says they died Ra Bamageifa, so we learn that some unusual death. Amar chinam papa darish abshila kvartamarta melamed, it teaches us in shtarveiv lishoinam, that their tongues extended, v'naf al tibur, man landed on their stomach, v'yitaloim yoytzes lishoinam, and there were worms coming out of their tongue, v'nechnasav tiburim into their stomach, and back to their tongue, v'tiburim out to the tongue, v'nechnasav lishoinam. That's one opinion. Rab Nachmar Yitzchak Amar, be'askur meso died due to this Askara condition, which is a Einish for speaking Lashon Hara, as the Gemara in Shabbos Lamed Gimel tells us. Okay, now we're actually going to go back to that Brisa, which we began the other day, describing how Klal Yisrael crossed the Jordan River into Eretz Yisrael. So the water split, it accumulated into this huge water wall. Everybody crosses. V'kivan she'olah ha'achron she'bei Yisrael b'nei Yarden. As soon as the last one of Bnei Yisrael crossed, chazru ma'im l'mkayim on the water back to its flow. Shenamar v'yibol eis ha'kahanim leisiv erin b'shashem b'techa Yarden. So Rashi explains that actually what happened was Yisrael crossed the Yarden while the Kahanim was standing in the Yarden keeping the water at bay. When Yisrael crossed, the Kohanim backed up to the east side of the Yarden. Vayhi balis ha-Kohanim oisei aron mitzvah Hashem b'toch ha-Yarden nitku kapos ragli ha-Kohanim el ha-Chorava. They detached, so to speak, their feet from the Yarden back. They took a step back where they came from to dry land, and at that point, it's flowing again. Vayashuvu Mehar Yarden l'mekayimam, v'yelchu k'tmol shulshayim, al kol gadoisav, it's filled to the brim, like it always was. So now we have Nimtza Oren v'noisav ha-kayanam mitzad echad, we have the Oren and its carriers, the kayanam, on one side, on the east bank of the Jordan, v'yisrael mitzad echad, and Yisrael on the west bank. How did they get across now? Nosa Oren es noisav, a miraculous thing, the Oren helped its carriers across, it flew everybody across. As to say that the Oren doesn't need any help. He helps us. The Torah carries us. V'avar, and he crossed. Shenema v'yihi kasher tam kol ha'am laver. Everybody crosses. V'yavar Oren Hashem v'kehan ofnei am. Then the Kehanim with the Oren flew across as well. V'al davar zeh nenash uza. this concept, the Aaron doesn't need our help. Hashem and the Torah carry us, rather than vice versa, was a mistake committed by this fellow called Uzzah. And he was punished as a result. Shanamar, Vayavoyu ad Goyren Kidoin. So this is the story, the well-known story with the Aaron containing the Luchos, which was taken into captivity by the Plishtim. The time of Eliakoin was taken out of the the time of Mishkan Shiloh, and it was taken into captivity. Eventually, the Plishtim realized it wasn't worth their while. They were suffering from having the Aaron by them, so they sent it back, sort of remote control on this animal-drawn wagon. And then it came to Beis Shemesh, as we're going to see later, and they did not treat it with respect, and they were punished. Until it was placed into the house of Oyved Edom HaGiti in a place called Kiryas Yearim, and he actually had great blessing and bracha from the Aaron's presence. Ultimately, David HaMelech took the Aaron to Ir David, where he resided, and the last stop, of course, was the Beis HaMikdash in the time of Shlomo HaMelech. So we have the Aaron now coming to Goyren Kidon. And this was at the point when David HaMelech was bringing the Aaron from Kiryas Yearim to Ir David. So he came to this place called Goyren Kidon. And the Aaron was sort of wobbling, about to fall. So what happened? Vayishlach Uzzah es yadeh, this person called Uzzah, extends his hand, le'echiz es Aaron, to grab the Aaron to stabilize it. And he got punished. But the Aaron doesn't need your help. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem tells him, Uzzah, look, the Aaron has the power to carry its carriers. Noisav Nasa, at the time of the Yarden, the Aaron carried its carriers across the river. Atzma lekol shekain, don't you realize that the Aaron can protect him, can take care of himself? Why are you interfering? This was perceived as a lack of respect, lack of regard to the true status of the Aaron. And he got punished. Vayicharaf Hashem be'uzah, vayakeo Hashem al hashal. So Hashem upset him, and he struck him al hashal. And the pasuk says vayom Hashem idai. Rabbi Yechon Belezer, two explanations on the words al hashal. Chadama one explains al iske shalo. Shalo means a lashon of shigaga, a mistake. So he had a shigaga that he reached down and he grabbed the orange barehanded like that. And that's why he was punished. The Chadamer, the other one, explains that it was really disrespectful. Shasat Shracha b'fanav, he tended to his personal needs in front of the Arain. Rashi says, Shalu is Lashon of Shulya, of being cast. So his Shracha he did, and that's why he was punished. Vayam Hashem, im Arain halakim. So he died with the Arain. Why do we express it like that? Om Rabbi Yechon Uzzah b'olam haba, despite the fact that he was punished severely. But of course, ultimately, he arrives at Olam Haba. How do we know? Shenemar, im aroin elikim, he died with the aroin. We make that connection. Ma aroin lo elam kaim, just as the aroin is eternal, even though it was concealed, it was put into hiding in the time of Yeshua HaMelech, but as we know, it still exists and will exist eternally. Af uza bo lo elam bo, likewise uza reaches elam bo. After this episode, David HaMelech took personal responsibility. He was there and he took responsibility for what happened. He was upset about this whole thing that Uzzah got punished, and it sort of happened under his watch. So Vayichar here means that his face turned like blackened. It got blackened and looked like a charoro, that's a something baked over coals, which gets blackened. So he was doing tshuva, and he had tsar, and his complexion sort of changed like that. Ask the Gemara El Mi'ata, if that's how you translate Vayichar, so then Kol Eichad Chse Vayichar. Throughout the Torah, whenever we have the Lashon Vayichar, we have Vayichar Hashem, right? Vayichar Af Hashem. Is that what it means, Vachanami? Does it mean a complexion change? Of course not. It says the more is the difference. Hosam ksiv af. When we have by Hashem, by Yichar af Hashem, it says af. Af meaning his anger was expressed. Expressed through one's nose. It's a mush like a person's anger, and you see in his nose, his breath. So that's all it means. Hachalik siv af. But here, All it says Vayichar L'David. It doesn't say Vayichar Avdavid. So that's why we describe it as Nishtana Pana of Kecharara. Dorash Rav. Why? Mipnei Ma Nenash David. In fact, why did David HaMelech suffer this punishment that Uzzah died under his watch? Because David HaMelech regarded Torah as Zmirois. That's how he referred to Torah, like song. When I was on the run, I was being chased around in a time of trepidation and fear. What kept me? Your Torah. The interaction with the Torah, which is like a beautiful song, like a melody, that kept me going. So Hashem says, look, it's a beautiful, thing that the Torah kept you going in your most difficult times, and you're relating to Torah like your lifeline. But choice of wording, the words of Torah, shekasu behen, which are described as hasif einecha b'yveinenu, of a pasuk in Mishlei, which warns us against even shutting our eyes temporarily, just momentarily. You close your eyes, hasiv einecha b'yveinenu, you fold your eyes up, you close them up, b'yveinenu, Torah is gone. You need constant watch over Torah to keep it fresh, to keep it personal, to keep it relevant. You turn away, Torah slides away, you lose touch, you lose taste for Torah. Unless you're constantly involved. That's how the pasuk regards Torah. Va'ata, koyrois and zmirois, and you call it zmirois like a song you don't have to constantly review in order to remember. It's a different thing. Song is beautiful, but it doesn't come close to the holiness of Torah. Torah has to be guarded and watched in order to keep it personal, keep it relevant to you. So there was some deviation here, some a claim against David, and therefore he was punished. Because of that, I'll make you stumble. Bedover, in something which is so obvious to everybody, even kids in school, know this idea that the Aron carries others and doesn't need to be carried by others. As the pasuk says, the pasuk there describes the way the Levim carried the parts of the Mishkan. Everybody had these wagons, but the Bnei Kehas, which carried the actual vessels of the Mishkan, like the Arayin, were not given wagons. You know why? Because if you saw, because they carried it on their shoulders. These were holy items. So everybody learning Chumash knows this. An Arayin must be treated with the greatest respect. But David HaMelech, when he transported the Aron, he brought it with a wagon. So that was really the pitfall. That was really the stumbling block. He made that mistake. And as a result, it sort of generated a whole string of issues, and there was a lack of respect overall. It sort of affected the environment. Let's put it this way. It affected the whole Sviva, and subsequently led to Uzzah's mistake as well, and his ultimate punishment, which really distressed David HaMelech. Okay, now let's go a step back. When the Aron was taken by the Plishtim and then ultimately returned, they sent it off with this wagon. Go, we don't want you anymore. You're causing us trouble, right? You're too holy for us. So the Aron makes its way back and it reaches Beis Shemesh. So Hashem struck the Anshei Beis Shemesh because they viewed the Aron as it arrived. Mishum Dero, just because they looked at the Aron as it was coming, Vayach, he struck at them? The answer is like this. Rabbi Yavo, Rabbi Lazar, there was a machlekes between these two, had to explain what they did wrong. Chadam, or one explains, Koitzrin, they were sitting out in the fields, harvesting their grain, and they notice the Aron, so they're bowing while they're doing their business. They didn't take a time out to properly relate to the Aron with respect. The Chadam, the other one explains, Mili namu amur. They actually expressed words of disrespect to the Aron. Man Amriya, who got you so upset? You know, the Imrayas that allowed you to get upset. What happened to you that you allowed yourself to go into captivity? Uman asa lachtiv Isis, and who came back to you to appease you? What do you, you know, what happened? Why'd you go? Why are you coming? And they were struck in a grand way. Vayach ba'om Hashem killed 70 people, v'chamish melefish, and 50,000 people. The fact that the pasuk separates 70 and 50,000, we learn that it has a deeper meaning. Rabbi Bover Belazer, there was a machlokes between these two how to learn. Chadam, the one explains, 70 were killed, v'chal echad be'echad, and each one was so important, shokul chamish melef was like 50,000. So 70 people, but each one had the chashivas of 50,000. V'chadam, the other one explains, chamishim elef hayu, there were 50,000 that were struck. V'chal echad be'echad, each one of those 50,000 was so important, shokul, k'shivim sanhedrin was like equal to the 70 dayanim of the Sanhedrin. That's what a such a great tragedy it was. Okay, so then they took the aray into this person called Oved Edom HaGiti, and there he really had a lot of bracha from it, a lot of kids. It was there for 3 months. David HaMelech, seeing that it's going to create bracha, that things are good, decided to take the aray to the Ir David where he lived. And the pasuk describes the march, the procession. So when the carriers took 6 steps, David brought as a carbon a bull, a shor umri, and a fattened bull as a carbon. That's one pasuk. So every 6 steps. Uksiven, the other pasuk says shiva parim, shiva elam, 7 parim and 7 elam. So which one was it? One Shor and Mri or 7? Amar Papa and Shmuel, both are true. I'll call Psi Opsi. Every step that they took, they stopped and they celebrated Shor and Mri. That's one thing. One pasuk. I'll call Shesh or Shesh Psias. But every time they completed 6 steps, a brand new celebration where they brought Shiva Parim and Shiva Eilim. Amar Le'Rav Chizda, Mkain, if you're giving so many karbanis, and of course each karban had to have his own sort of mizbeach, like a bama, imagine what the place looked like. Milesa is called Yisrael, but bamas. So if this took place between Kiryas Yearim and Yerushalayim, that's a huge stretch, and every step, every 6 steps, you're talking about Mizbeches and Mizbeches, and you can't destroy your Mizbeach. So where are those Mizbeches today? So apparently it wasn't so many. Elam Rav Chizda was a little less than that. Akol Shesh V'Shesh P'siyo Yishayim Mari. A Shayim Mari was brought for every 6 steps. Akol Shisha Siddarim Shal Shesh P'siyas, but on every 6 sets of 6 steps, meaning every 36 steps, then they brought a Shiva Parim, a Shiva Eilim. Now, let's just go back a step. You know, initially, David HaMelech had planned on bringing the Aron to Yerushalayim, but then that tragic event happened with Uzzah, and decided to switch tracks. He brought him to the, he brought the Aron to Oved Edom HaGiti, and after seeing the bracha that it was generating, he decided to bring it back to, bring it up to Ir David Yerushalayim. So let's just go back to that story with Uzzah. The pasuk says they came, vayavoyu ad goyer nachin, they came to goyer nachin, the iron was sort of wobbling, and Uzzah got into trouble. And then, so one pasuk says, vayavoyu ad goyer kidain, the other pasuk says, vayavoyu ad goyer nachin. Apparently it's the same event, the same story. Here it's called kidain, here it's nachin. Why? Ksiv kidain, ksiv nachin. Why? And Rabbi Yochanan is just describing the event as they happened, events as they happened, but chila kidain, initially, the Oren became like a kidain, like a spear, because of the tragic event. But ultimately, when it was sitting in the house of Oved Edom HaGiti, and it generated bracha, Nochin, it became Nochin, the source of bracha, and ultimately, David HaMelech decided to bring it up to Yerushalayim. Okay, now we're going back to the story of Klal Yisrael crossing the Yarden, and this is the last part of that brisa which we began. Nimtzeisa ta'imer. So then they crossed, and they had the stones, and they established the stones on the Har Eval, etc. Nimtzeisa ta'imer. So ultimately, it comes out that there were 3 shloisha mini avonim hayu. Throughout our history, we had 3 sets of stones that had significance. Number one, echad shehike Moshe be'eretz Moav. First set of stones was were when Moshe Rabbeinu established those stones in Eivar HaYarden, in Eretz Moab, before we crossed the Yarden into Eretz Yisrael. And on those stones, he wrote out the Torah in all languages. So Moshe Rabbeinu presented the Torah with clarity. So how do we know that it's referring to the fact that he established stones and put the Torah on them? Because further down the road, the pasuk says, "V'kasaf talein as tivra Torah zois b'ayiratev," in describing the stones that Klal Yisrael are going to establish on Har Gerizim, by Har Gerizim and Har Ebal, we find a similar lashon, right? We find that the stones were meant to have the Torah on them, Bayir Hetev, and we connect the two psukim. Va'asya, Bayir, Bayir. We use the word Bayir. We connect it back to Moshe Rabbeinu. That Moshe Rabbeinu also did a similar thing. He put up stones upon which he recorded the Torah in all 70 languages. So we have one set of stones, Moshe Rabbeinu, the other set of stones, by Har Gerizim and Har Ebal, Ve'echad, and the third set of stones, Shehekim Yeshua B'Sech HaYarden, which Yeshua established as a monument in the Yarden as they were crossing, to provide testimonial to the tremendous nays that we experienced. Shenamar Shtemesri Avonim, Hekim Yeshua B'Sech HaYarden, in the Yarden itself, Ve'echad Shehekim B'Gilgal, and the other set of stones he put in Gilgal. Basically, we have three sets of stones. Number one, Moshe Rabbeinu. Number two, in the Yarden. And it appears from this Gemara that they stayed in the Yarden. Third set of stones were established by Har Gerizim and Har Ebal, upon which they wrote the Torah. Right? So they had the stones there, they built a Mizbeach, they brought the Korbanot, took apart the Mizbeach, wrote the Torah on it, and took it with them to Gilgal and left it there. Tanu Rabbanan, Ketzad Kosv Yisrael HaTorah. How did they write the Torah on these stones? We have a difference of opinion. They wrote it directly on the stones. It's called the Torah Zois. You meant to write the Torah on the stones themselves. After which they painted the stones with the Torah on them already. They painted them with some sort of paint, some sort of lime. The pasuk says, "V'sadata isem basid." So they sort of covered over the Torah with sid. Amar Rab Shimon, says Rab Shimon to Rab Yehuda, "How could you do that? You're making it unseen." L'dvarecha, according to your approach, "Heich lamdu umayis shalois asman Torah." How did the nations learn the Torah? The whole point was that, you know, we're translating it so everybody gets to understand it. If you're covering it, what's the point? Amar Leisa, Rab Yehuda says, "Bina yisera, nosem hakadosh baruch Hashem and planted them with exceptional wisdom, extra talent, v'shigru nu tiren shalem, and they sent, they dispatched their scribes, like a notary public, a sefer, a scribe, v'kilvus asid, and they were able to peel off this paint with this plaster, and they discovered the writing beneath it, and they copied it over, v'si'uho, and they copied the writing. So now they had the whole Torah, and they knew exactly what it's about. Because of this knowledge that they sort of ignored and disregarded, is chatim gzardinam bereshachas, they're written off for eternal loss. Why? They should have learned. They should have educated themselves and followed the Sheva Mitzvahs b'nei noyach and respected Klal Yisrael for their Torah. They didn't, so they're lost. Rabbi Shimon Omer al Gabi Sidka Svur. First, they painted the stones, they plastered them, upon which they wrote the letters of the Torah of Koslam Lamata, and they added a message for the nations of the world beneath the Torah, as follows: Laman, Asherloi, Yilamdu Eschem Laasayis Kichol Ta'avisam Asher Asu Lelihim Achatasam Hashem Lekecha. The message was like this: why is the Torah telling us to banish the locals of Eretz Canaan? Why? They shouldn't teach you their errant ways, their errant lifestyles, right? So that was the message they sent to all the guy. Beneath the Torah, they wrote, by the way, this is the whole purpose of attacking the locals in Eretz Yisrael. in order to explain to them the motive and give them a way out. So we learn from here that even if a Canaanite, a Ben Canaan, would have come back and done tshuva, would have perhaps kept the Shiva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, perhaps that's what it means, they would have accepted him. And Rashi explains it did not apply to the locals who were in Eretz Yisrael at the time, during the Klal Yisrael's arrival, because they perhaps are doing it out of fear. So they're not really to be trusted that they're genuine, but the ones living outside Eretz Yisrael, the Bnei Kanan living outside, if they decided to turn a page and get on track, then we would accept them and they would not have to be banished. Amar Rav Bar Shila, my Talmid Rav Shimon. Why does Rav Shimon say that the words of Torah were written on the Sid? The Sid, v'hoyu amim misrefoiz Sid. The other nations are going to have a strafe of burning like this Sid. What does that mean? Al iske Sid, because of the plaster-related issue. They ignored the Torah that was presented to them on a silver platter, on a plaster platter. Rav Yehuda says like this. According to Rav Yehuda, why is it called Al Sid? The Sid was on the Torah, not beneath the Torah. The reason why we mention Sid, Ki Sid, we compare the fate of the nations who don't conform to Hashem's will, like to the Sid to plaster. Masid en letakon el strafe, just like plaster treated by, the only way to treat it is by burning it and heating it up. Of Oysam akutim elam takon el strafe, likewise the nations who don't conform to Hashem's will end up with the same fate of strafe. One more Gemara. Kaman ozlal de sanya. In accordance with which shita was the following brisa stated? The brisa says in the pasuk, "Yisaitzel amulchama," you go out, at Eretz Yisrael, you wage war, v'shavisa shivya, you capture your captive, a captive from the goyim, which is sort of a redundant language, v'shavisa shivya. It teaches us a halacha. L'rabba is k'nanim shebuchutz l'aretz, that the k'nanim who are living outside Eretz Yisrael, it's coming to include them, coming to allow them a way back. If they do tshuva and they return to Hashem's ways, we're makabel them, there's no din of leisachayik on Hashem of destroying them. So whose shita is this? Come on, Rav Shimon. That's Rav Shimon's shita. The whole point was to send them a message that if they chayzer b'tshuva, we makabel them. So apparently those outside Eretz Yisrael are not included in the din of leisachayik and Hashem, there's no need to kill them. According to Yehuda, we don't have such a dispensation. All the Knanim were in the same boat. So, what did we learn today? We started with the Meraglim. Their evil scheme was there from the get-go. We have Kalev's clever way of getting everybody's attention. We discussed the various expressions that the Meraglim said in a very negative way, and the Einish, the Bechir, the Deiris that was generated because of their Bechir Shal Chinam. We find the Einish that they experienced, Mida Keneged Mida. We went back to the Yarden. We find a miraculous thing that the Arain would carry its carriers across. This was a profound lesson which was not internalized properly by Uzzah. And we have David HaMelech, we called the Teres Miros, and there was a Taina on him. We have the way Anshei Beis Shemesh related to the Aron. We find that ultimately the Aron was brought with great pomp and celebration back to Yerushalayim. We have three special sets of stones throughout history: Moshe Rabbeinu's stones, the stones in the Yarden, stones in Gilgal. And we have two opinions in terms of how the Torah is written on those stones, certainly in all languages, and in order to send and teach the nations of the world the light. Give them a glimpse of the light of what it's all about. All the best to you, Hatzlacha Rabbah.